No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here on a Tuesday. Took the whole Sunday off. You know, we don't get very many weeks where we get some time to kind of relax and enjoy an entire Sunday. So I took the Colts bye week and ran with it in that regard. Needed an extra day off, so I took it. Still going to throw three shows at you this week. So all should be good. We'll try to get a couple guests in here and get some more quality podcasts in here for you guys. But so far, you know, the Colts are heading into their Week 12 battle with the Tennessee Titans. They're going to host the game, obviously, at Lucas Oil Stadium. And the Colts really have, you know, such a strange outlook for the rest of the season. But there is good news on the way. Clayton Gathers is coming back. He was good all week in practice and is expected to play. They don't think that he's going to start. They don't think that he's going to play a whole lot. They said that they're going to have him ultimately on a pitch count, which is probably good. I mean, when we look at his injury, you know, I can't even tell you how many shows we had on it talking about, you know, it could be career ending. We didn't know if it was going to maybe, you know, be a couple years that he would be out or something like that. But ultimately, when you look at it, it's his physicality. They said he's a little slimmer, too, which is interesting, and I'm excited to kind of see what he looks like out there. But it's not so much the playing, the tracking the ball, you know, covering guys, so on and so forth. It's the hitting. I mean, it was a neck injury, and you just wonder, you know, is he going to have the kind of the same pop in behind his pads? Is he going to be a little, you know, reluctant to kind of put a massive hit on somebody? Or is he going to be, you know, the Clayton Gathers that we saw just, you know, a couple years ago and even last year for that matter when he was healthy? It's really hard to say, but I'm interested to see him for sure. I mean, it's exciting to see that he's going to be out there. The Colts need him. And I mean, how lucky, I mean, you see that Malik Hooker goes out, and then how lucky couldn't you possibly get to eventually get back Clayton Gathers, who was previous to that the Colts' best safety on the roster. I think that next year is exciting. I mean, Malik Hooker, Clayton Gathers back there. I mean, we've got some other guys in the safety department that can, you know, Matthias Farley is going to be a great rotational guy, I think, if they keep him around. But, you know, this kind of spells the end for TJ Green, which I don't think anybody's too awful upset about. Some other news. The Colts say that Quincy Wilson is way healthier. At least Chuck Pagano's words are way healthier than he's been in a long time. So that's nice, too. We're also going to be getting, you know, obviously we have Rashawn Melvin. We've got Pierre Desir. We've got, you know, Nate Hairston. I mean, the Colts have a pretty solid group back there at the cornerback position. This is kind of interesting as well when you see that the possibility for Quincy Wilson to come back is going to be nice. So, I mean, he's going to be, you know, possibly coming back. And now we get to see, are they going to play him? Are they going to put him in a rotation of some sort? I mean, look, Rashawn Melvin's not coming out of the game, as far as I'm concerned, unless he absolutely has to. Pierre Desir has been in contention with every play, I think, that he's been in on. You know, the first couple games he was in, of course, he struggled a little bit. But other than that, he's been, I mean, even the touchdowns he's given up, you just really couldn't ask for him to play much better coverage. Although, Quincy Wilson has done well when he was in. Granted, that was week two when he last played, as far as I can remember, and at least some significant snaps anyhow. And he looked good then, but that's a long time off. That's knee injury or coming off of, you know, whatever the knee situation is, I guess. Also coming off of basically being talked down by the coaching staff about his ability to, whatever it was, pay attention or play effectively in practice. I mean, we don't really know. It was pretty cryptic, but more or less that's what they were leading into. And we really just don't know where he's at, physically or mentally, I guess. But the last time we saw him on the field, when it counted, he looked good. So I'm excited to kind of see what, you know, if we get Quincy Wilson back, as far as does he play any snaps whatsoever. I don't think he's going to take Desir's spot. I think that, you know, if they come in certain packages, he may come in to be that third, you know, outside corner or something like that if it presents itself. But I don't see him taking either one of the starting spots, which is fine. But you have to look to the future, right? I think Rashawn Melvin's getting re-signed. I think Pierre Desir is making a really good case for himself to get re-signed. And then you've got Nate Hairston, who's a rookie who's playing well above his draft stock. And then you've got Quincy Wilson, who's going to come in as a second-round pick next year, not guaranteed a starting spot, but he's going to be a hell of a great depth guy. At minimum, right? So those are all things to look forward to. He's healthy, and they're talking about giving him a shot, obviously, to compete to be on the field this week. So this is all good. I mean, this isn't bad. We want to see Quincy Wilson, but at the current time, since they've gotten Desir, Desir's, you know, stepped up to the plate. He's done well. I like what he's done. But, you might see a little more playmaking, I suppose you could say, out of Quincy Wilson. I think he's a little bit longer, similar height, but I think his arms look, I mean, he's a little longer, lankier, and may have a little bit better ability to actually get a hand on a ball. It kind of depends on, you know, the situation. If Desir's doing his job, which he has been, then they're going to leave him be. I think Quincy Wilson's probably got to considerably outplay him in practice this week to get the start for sure. But definitely to get any snaps, he's got to look really good, and he's got to be really competitive with Desir in practice this week. Otherwise, we're going to see Melvin and Desir outside at the corner, right and left corner. So let's move on to Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett has been obviously in the concussion protocol since the last game. And the Colts are saying basically they think he's going to come out of it. They acted today, at least from Pagano's press conference, as though he's been on the field, so practicing. But that, I mean, I don't know necessarily. He didn't designate whether he was in a red non-contact jersey, what, or anything like that. But just reading the transcripts from his interview, it sounds to me as though he is going to play, that he's been on the field, that they're assuming he's going to be good to go. But the Colts really have got to find a way to get him away from any of the contact, to get him away from getting, you know, 6 or 8 QB hits a game. And I don't think that it's all on the offensive line at all. We've been through this, guys. The offensive line definitely is at fault for a large portion of it. But Jacoby Brissett is equally on the hook for a lot of it as well. I mean, they just simply have to design better plays, get him out of the pocket possibly, maybe, and get him some throws on the run, get him some quick passes, 3-step drops, some timing routes inside the hash, you know, or not all the way to the opposite boundary. That's just simplicity, and I think they need to do that with him. He's looked great over the past 3 weeks, as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't say great last week necessarily, but very good. I've been very impressed with him. He's good on the deep ball. He's done really good on the long ball this year. He continues to show maturation as far as being able to get the ball out. I want to see him use his eyes a little bit better as far as trying to move the safety or to hold the safety wherever he's at. But he has come a long way, guys. I mean, like I've told you before, and I've showed you guys in the film room on Stampede Blue, he continues to grow. He was at a place where he was struggling to pick up the offense. Then he was struggling to fundamentally become a more sound quarterback. Now he's kind of come into his own a little bit, and it's very fun to watch. I'm enjoying watching it. I hope that, like I said, I hope that he can kind of put all of it together, get everybody involved. Chester Rogers is going to have to be a big target of his. If he's not going to go after Moncrief, it's got to be Chester, right? You can't go T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle every week. That's just not going to work. And they need a little more action from their running backs. They have to be, the Colts are really bad about going away from their running game in the second half. Gore was doing really well in the first half against the Steelers. They kind of went away from it after that. And, you know, Mac, what is he going to provide? He does have to be better in pass protection. The more I've watched some of his tape, especially from the All-22, you can see that he's not a physical guy back there. He does make contact. Sometimes it's off-center as though he may have a linebacker coming and kind of just chips him. He's got to make more solid contact than that. It's not so much that he's got to put him in the ground, but he's definitely got to hit him square. That, in turn, forces that linebacker, lineman, whoever's coming up the middle to go around him, go through him or go around him. And the more surface area that he gives them to go around, the better and the longer Brissett will have to take care of the ball. So all that stuff comes into play. But Brissett is going to play in Week 12 against the Titans, so that's a good sign. That's a very good sign. Because the Colts would be in a world of hurt if we were looking at Scott Tolzien. We saw Week 1 enough of Scott Tolzien. I'm still, I think that we all are pretty disgusted that he's still on the roster in general. But, you take with what you got, so, and you have to live with it. But we're hoping to see Brissett stay up, stay, vertical, that he can make some of those plays and that he can stay healthy and not get hit, because the Colts definitely can't afford to lose him or their season is completely and utterly trashed and over with. It probably is already, but that just makes it that less watchable. Brissett gives Colts fans a little bit of intrigue, a little bit of fun to watch. We know that he can hit T.Y. We know that he can go deep. We know that he is capable of getting the first down or a touchdown with his feet. So he adds a little bit of fun and intrigue and dynamicism, whatever. I don't know what kind of word that is. I don't even know how to finish that word. But he's a little more dynamic, obviously, than Scott Tolzien. Not fast, doesn't look extremely athletic when he does it, but he does it. So all things for us to look forward to. We're going to take a quick break, guys. We'll come right back with the second half of the show right after this. Welcome back to the show, guys. We got some interesting things going on right now with the Colts. The Colts obviously are coming out of the bye going into Week 12 against the Tennessee Titans. And look, the AFC South is not getting in any better shape for the Colts right now. The Colts were off of their bye, obviously. They have beaten the Texans this year. They've lost a second-half lead to the Titans, and they got smoke-showed by the Jaguars already. Well, the Jaguars and, they definitely took care of business against the Browns 19-7 and got themselves up to a 7-3 mark. Obviously, a full game in the lead for the AFC South, while the Titans took one, I mean, maybe even took a two-piece to the chin from the Steelers 40-17. And that drops them to 6-4. The Colts are full four games behind the Jaguars. The Colts only have six games left. The Colts have to win out, and the Jaguars basically have to win one or fewer games for the Colts to do anything at all, and that's just not going to happen. And the Colts are, for all intents and purposes, out of the AFC divisional running this year, I think. This would have to be an epic collapse by not only the Jaguars, but the Titans too. And I think the Titans have played like crap so far this year, but I think that the Titans have more capability than either the Texans or the Colts of putting together any sort of a run towards the end of the year. But the Colts do have somewhat of a favorable schedule. We went through that last week. They have the ability to run the table because the Jaguars, Titans, and Texans, they all play them again. Obviously, the Titans this week. But none of them are unbeatable. I mean, it is the Jaguars, Titans, and Texans. Blake Bortles is not going to win games for the Jaguars. So the Jaguars are going to have to find, a way to keep him, not killing them, basically. Because I'm telling you right now, Jacoby Brissett's way better than Blake Bortles right now. I think he's definitely a better quarterback. The Titans, they've got to be able to get their whole group together. Marcus Mariota had an awful game last week. Their running game hasn't looked great. Even their defense has been very sporadic over the past several weeks, so they're beatable. The Texans, obviously, finally have gotten some action out of Tom Savage. But without Deshaun Watson, the Texans are not a realistic hope to win the division. And the Colts are sitting at the worst record now. I mean, if the Colts right now could possibly be 6-4, which they actually should be, in my opinion, this would be a great run towards the AFC South. But the Colts aren't in that position. The Colts aren't going to make some sort of a deadhead to get themselves into contention for the AFC. And definitely not. I mean, look, the wild card, maybe. I wouldn't count on that either. But the Colts are going to have to basically run the table just to do that. So the Colts are out of it, as far as I'm concerned, which kind of makes the rest of the season crappy. But we've talked about this also. It's fun. I enjoy watching some of these guys. I kind of treat this like a slightly more intriguing preseason, where you're looking at the guys who could be coming back next year. Who are the guys showing some promise? Who are the guys that are showing like they can really play defensively or that they can block up front? You know, unfortunately, that's few and far between. But, you know, situations like that. Who's a guy who could be a return guy next year? What are Marlon Mack's possibilities? You know, stuff like that. Basically, right now, as Colts fans, we are prospectors looking to see who's going to be on this team next year. And when you look at Chris Ballard and what he is trying to put forward with this team, you're looking at everything, right? I mean, Chudzinski's got this offense just not in good shape. I mean, they're not good in total yards. They're very average and worse than average on a lot of things as well. And they just don't ever have to. They just don't ever seem to have any cohesiveness in the second half, and that's a large problem for the Colts' struggles, to be quite honest with you. I think that no matter what happens, let's assume for a minute that Chuck Pagano is still here next year, which isn't going to be. But let's assume that he is for argument's sake. Rob Chudzinski's gone. I think that it's been fairly well known over the past several weeks, even months, that, you know, Chudzinski is not in the best of favor with the front office, as his offense is too predictable. I think that there's been rumors about that for months now. And apparently, you know, I can imagine that Ballard's not a big fan of that. So, I mean, look at that. You look at the fact that he just isn't the right guy for the job, period. So even if Pagano stays, he's gone. Look at Ted Monachino. Monachino, this run defense is good. Right now, they're pretty average, but like I said, you guys heard on the show when I was talking with George, just a couple differences in the way that the Colts go and play. Their run defense is significantly higher in the top 10, if that's the case, with just a couple different plays even. And so I think that you can look at a few things and say, yeah, that looks good on the defense, but here's the problem. It's not because of Ted Monachino. It's not because he's dialing up great blitzes. It's not because he's very inventive and creative with what he does with the Colts offense, our defense. Most of it, and probably I'd venture to say over 80% of it, is the talent that Ballard brought in. I mean, Jabal Sheard has been much, much better over the past several weeks than anybody probably expected him to be. Probably since, I'd say, week 2 or 3, he's been really, really good. John Simon, who hasn't played the past couple weeks, he's going to be back. He's been excellent. I mean, he's been almost the spark plug for the defense, you could say. Nate Hairston's been fantastic. That's a draft pick, obviously. But you look at the up front. Al Woods, very underrated addition. I mean, he has been fantastic up front. Jonathan Hankins, just the same, has been fantastic. Not so underrated, but very fantastic as far as I'm concerned. Marcus Hunt, a guy that we all talked about several times, saying that there was probably a possibility that he doesn't even make the roster. Well, he's been excellent. He's been blocking kicks. He's been doing everything he could. So I think that a lot of what the Colts have gained, and you look at Desir. I mean, Desir gets brought in. Not a lot of fanfare behind him before he came in. And I think that Ballard has been as responsible for the defense's improvements than Monachino. I don't think Monachino gets any of that credit, to be quite honest with you. Maybe a little bit. but I don't think he deserves very much of it at all. So this comes back to Pagano right now, and as far as I'm concerned, Pagano's gone. Black Monday, he's out. There's no way that he stays in this system, in this under this general manager. He and Pagano are simply he and Ballard are not a good mix. They're not they're just not a good group. They don't have chemistry together. As far as this is what I want, he knows what I want. I mean, you'll see as this progresses that Pagano or that Ballard is probably going to bring in somebody that we've probably already talked about over the past several months. And it's going to be interesting to see how that coach fills out his coordinators and position coaches. I would be I'm on team keep Brian Schottenheimer though. I'm not super with all of the good quality quarterback coaches in the league right now. However, I know what I've seen out of Brian Schottenheimer, and I think you could make the case that Ballard has seen it as well. Look what he's done with Luck last year. Of course, Ballard wasn't here last year to watch that, but he knows how well Andrew Luck played with a crappy shoulder. Then look at what he's done with Jacoby Brissett. And let me tell you this part about it too. A lot of what Jacoby Brissett is able to do is because of Brian Schottenheimer. That this is not where you don't see the offensive coordinator and the quarterback that tight. Okay, I mean, they do get together. Obviously, there's offensive meetings. They're both in there and blah, blah, blah. You know how that goes. But as far as the one-on-one time and the little pieces of information and the little help with mechanics and the little help with the eye movement and the little help with, you know, stop, plant, get that back foot down and be ready to release, go through your progressions, don't hold on to them, that's all Brian Schottenheimer. I think Schottenheimer's done a fantastic job. I've been talking about him for the past year and a half, 2 years. I think that he's done a great job with Brissett, and I'm definitely on board with keeping him around, and I would not be surprised one bit if he was kept around. I don't think that he would get an OC job or anything like that because he just hasn't been successful in that role. I don't think that he would want necessarily if the new coach comes in and he has a new quarterbacks coach in mind, I don't think Ballard's going to say, nope, keep Brian Schottenheimer instead. I don't think that'll happen either. But if quarterback coach is something that Ballard can offer some suggestions for, I think that Schottenheimer is definitely going to be high on his list for that. I think that we could all see that. There's not a lot of quarterback coaches around that can do what he's done, in my opinion. I think he's an excellent piece to the Colts puzzle for the future. I think that he and Luck have worked really good together. And not only that, but look, this adds a little bit of cohesion with Andrew Luck for the next season, because the Colts are going to have a new offensive coordinator. The Colts are going to have a new coach. The Colts are going to have all these new people in place. You got to give Andrew Luck some semblance of normalcy, and some of that normalcy could come with Brian Schottenheimer. Just my two cents. I don't think that is too far from, you know, the beaten path as far as, you know, possibility, I guess. But, you know, I just think that that's something that they could and probably will and should consider. All right. Some more news kind of within in line with what the next topic that I want to talk about. Eric Swoop is back out there. I haven't heard or seen necessarily them say whether he is going to be out there or not in playing. I know that he has been practicing. Whether he's going to come back and be on the field, I don't know. Man, the Colts could really, really use him. I mean, I don't know what kind of chemistry he and Brissett would have right off the jump, but man, they could really use him. Brandon Williams just hasn't done anything. Well, not only that, but Darryl Daniels is day-to-day, apparently with a hamstring issue. They've got Jack Doyle, but man, they need another quality tight end threat. He adds a lot of dynamic to this offense as well. I can't explain, and I can't help but continue to think about what is going on between Brissett and Moncrief, whether it's Moncrief maybe going off script on his routes, or Brissett just simply does not maybe trust him, or that Brissett just doesn't, you know, look his way often enough. Maybe Moncrief is the third progression in a lot of plays or something, and Brissett's just not getting that far. I don't know what it is, but I can't help but think about it. And as we talk about, you know, Rodgers has to continue to play like he did last week against the Steelers. Eric Swoop's got to come in and be a threat up the seam and for some vertical routes. And Doyle can take the underneath stuff. And T.Y. Hilton's still got to be able to do both, you know, and all these other things. But what are we don't really know how Brissett's going to not only react, but how Brissett is going to play to some new pieces in his offense. So I'm excited to see Eric Swoop. I hope that he and Brissett are both out there this week, can kind of get some sort of a rapport together, because you know, it's too late. We've talked about this already. It's too late for the offense to really be a part of, you know, some sort of traction going forward to do something legitimate this year as far as get into the playoffs. But you want to see Eric Swoop looking much better. You want to see him looking healthy. You want to see him making some catches, because the guy has, I mean, he has been just marinating in the Colts system for a few years now, and finally last year we got a little taste of what he can offer. I'd love to see him come back and just look like a beast, right? So, I mean, the Colts getting a lot of guys back. Hassan Ridgeway is out, though, apparently week to week with a shoulder. That could be as many as a few weeks, I would say a month. At least that was kind of the rule of thumb, I guess you could say, that I've been told, as far as day-to-day is usually about a week, and week-to-week is usually about a month. So that's kind of where we're at with all that. And I really want to see this Colts offense look good. And I want them to look good under Brissett too. I'm anxious for Luck to come back next year, but you know, we've still got six games this year. We've got a draft, free agents. We've got a lot of stuff to go through between now and 2018. So, I mean, I don't want to look too far ahead, and I'm not trying to. I'm just saying it's hard not to look forward to these positive situations for the future and for the near future, that for that matter. But when your team is 3-7 and they've got six games to go and don't really believe in the whole process. You see, like I said, the Colts run defense is solid because of a lot of the talent that's brought in there. It's done a pretty good job. The secondary does a nice job as far as completion rate, you know, but a lot of other stuff, big plays, too many yards, too many touchdowns given up, that kind of stuff kind of makes you worry. That's the process, right? That's the learning process and everything that goes into that. But the offense, you know, the pieces are there. I mean, the offensive line is going to be a focal point this year for Ballard. I would guess that in the offseason, whether it be through the draft or through free agency, that Ballard probably hits the O-line hard. I'll be honest with you, I do not think Jack Muhort's coming back. I don't have any intel necessarily on that, but I think that, you know, the sun shines in the one direction for a reason. I just don't see that he's going to be coming back. I don't see how they could spend, you know, real money on him with a guy that is just chronically injured. And, you know, he is a good offensive lineman. I just don't see him coming back. That's, I mean, just honesty with that. And like I said, just my two cents, my opinion. But they've got a lot of holes to fill. Vunovic can't be on this roster next year. If the Colts are any good and Vunovic is on this roster, I'll be very surprised. He has to be gone in order for this offensive line to improve. You know, Denzel Good, will he be on the team next year? LaRaven Clark, will he be on the team next year? You know, there's a lot of pieces that are currently here that may not even be in the building next year. You could see a legitimate complete slate wipe next year of offensive linemen. Would you want that? Maybe. For the most part, yeah, I think that's a good idea, because I think that you've got to get in the guys that you think are talented. And, you know, ultimately you've got to protect your franchise. So if you've got some guys, you know, that may make another year transition or so, maybe a couple of those guys still stick around. But, you know, Anthony Costanzo is going to be here, guys. He's good. I don't care what anybody says. Ryan Kelly's good. Everybody knows he's good. You know, and, you know, the pieces around those two guys, they're going to have to find two tackles that can be starters, because Costanzo's not going to stay healthy forever. They've got to have two legit starters at tackle. They've got to have two starters at guard. And they've got to have some depth. So this, you know, Ballard's got his work cut out for him, and he may just hammer out the offensive line. And we can hate it as much as we want, because I'm as much of a staunch supporter of, you know, the offensive line can be a work in progress. But Ballard's not going to take his chances with Luck. I mean, he's just not. I think that he's going to go way after the offensive line. I prefer to hit up a top five pass rusher, though, to be honest with you. I want that. The Colts need that. They've got to be able to flip the field. They've got a nice special teams unit right now. They've got some solid coverage for the future. Their run defense is good. They don't have crap for pressure other than Jabal Sheard right now. And, you know, Terrell Basham isn't showing any signs of becoming some sort of an elite pass rusher. Barkevious Mingo, though, he is a guy you can kind of tinker with and use in blitz packages and stuff like that. He's not a guy who can win one-on-one consistently. Yeah, all this stuff. Linebackers, too. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if offensive line and linebackers were the two major developments between now and next year. And I think, obviously, you've got to get yourself a top-level pass rusher. Those things come between now and next year, and I think the Colts will be better. I mean, that's just the way it is. But you've got to consume that there are going to be injuries next year that we didn't know, you know, were going to be there, obviously. The Colts, it happens every year, guys. I mean, the Colts are, and you guys heard Will Carroll the other day, the Colts have been perennially the worst injured team just continually over and over and over again. And somebody's going to get hurt next year. It might end up being one of the guys that Ballard brought in this year that we don't want. Maybe, you know, just, I mean, I don't even want to say names because that sounds like bad juju. So, but you guys understand what I mean. It may be somebody else who's not injured right now. It'll be in some three or four other guys. And the Colts may be down, you know, some defensive linemen, or they may be down some corners, or they may be down some more offensive linemen. You know, you just never know. So all this stuff comes into play as the Colts move forward. But the Colts have a Week 12 matchup, guys, and I can't stop talking about everything else. The Colts were in this game against the Titans for sure in the second half and had themselves a lead. Brissett was pretty good throughout the game, 21 of 37 for 212 passing yards. One touchdown, was only sacked one time. I mean, that's nice too. Marcus Mariota was only sacked once. And remember, he was injured. But he came to play. He did really, really well. Running the ball, the Colts really stopped the run for the most part. Derrick Henry ended up like chucking out that 72-yard touchdown run at the end that really screwed the Colts out of keeping another team under 100 yards on the day. But, you know, what happened happened. And that was kind of the icing on the cake. The Colts, you know, were ultimately up 19-15, you know, at the end of the third quarter, and you just got completely just murdered after that. I mean, the Titans scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. The Colts only scored three, and, you know, it goes back to the same old thing here. Frank Gore had 10 carries in the entire game. Marlon Mack had two. You know, Moncrief on this one had seven targets, though, so maybe there's a matchup here where we see Moncrief kind of, you know, kind of step into that role again. Jack Doyle had seven catches and a touchdown in this game. So let's kind of take a look at defensively who was kind of the studs of the game. Look at John Simon. He had that pick six at the second half, opening drive for the Titans. 2.5 tackles for loss, had a sack. And a pass defense, obviously, three quarterback hits on the day. Mathias Farley had himself a nice day tackling as far as that goes. Rashawn Melvin had three passes defended. Jonathan Hankins had a QB hit. Jabal Sheard had two. So, I mean, you know, we see a lot of things that come out of this. But the only sack in that was John Simon. Now, Mariota was quick on the punch as far as to get the ball out of his hands and to get the ball into his playmaker's hands. This is something that the Colts really have to stop in this game. I mean, they really have to keep Mariota under wraps, and he's going to probably be a little more mobile than he was the last time. The Colts have to be able to stop the running game. I mean, they can, and they will. I believe. You know, they've got to keep Derrick Henry inside of the tackles. They've got to be able to get him down and chop his legs out from underneath him. Ultimately, they've got to keep all their playmakers, you know, at hand on the outside that can really screw up a game. I mean, Eric Decker is a guy who just continually eats up the Colts every time. Rishard Matthews, Taywan Taylor, I mean, all these guys, not to mention Delanie Walker at tight end. These guys are not going to be an easy group to beat, regardless what they do against any other teams. The AFC South matchups are excellent AFC South matchups, as far as it seems like their skill levels always are about the same, even if one has a considerably better record than the other. And by excellent games, I mean close. You know, if you're outside of the division and you're a fan, you probably can't stand watching AFC South games, but it looks like this could be, you know, maybe a better game because, you know, Brissett's had a little more time to get himself ready to kind of take over this offense. The defense is starting to kind of gel a little bit. The Colts have played pretty damn good defense over the past 3 weeks. The Colts have had their best 3 weeks of the season, only winning one of those games. However, they've definitely played much better than they had previously in any game, to be quite honest with you, than they had or with these three games the past 3 weeks. So I don't know. Well, I mean, what kind of chances do we give the Colts? They're at home. They're not a great home team anymore. It seems like they're okay. They win some of their home games, but the last, you know, time that they've been, you know, they've been smoked at home. They've had close games at home. The Colts aren't winning close games this year. I think they're 3-3 in one score games this year, and it's just not, you know, a lot of it just doesn't go together. So all we can do is hope for the best as far as with the Indianapolis Colts being able to put forward a good showing. Put some defense out there on the field that wants to hit somebody. Get the offense rolling. Chudzinski, Monachino, and just don't make Chuck Pagano use his challenge flag. If we can do all that, the Colts have a shot. I mean, so we're trying to look at the bright side here, right? So, guys, we're going to call that one a show for tonight. Like I said, we'll have at least two more shows, and we've got a little addition to some of our shows at the end of the week that we're going to try to put forward. I'll talk to you guys a little bit more about that later on in the week, make sure all that kind of scoops up, but make sure you guys are getting over to Apple Podcasts, getting a rating and review for the show. Those help tremendously. Also, you know, when we get to 100 reviews, we're going to give away another jersey. So make sure you guys are doing that. Share the show. Get to StampedeBlue.com. Follow me on Twitter at MDainley_NFL. And I will talk to you guys all on Wednesday right here on the Colts Cast.